can see above me. And let's just, well, let me back up and make sure we get the proposition. Gambling, and I mean by that betting, games of chance in which there is a wager, even raffles, you know, we buy tickets and all of that kind of thing. Certainly the lottery that's in the news all of the time, anything like that, is sin. I believe that, and so I'm going to defend that tonight. But I want us to be sure we talk about what is gambling. Let's say this up front. This is not going to be a debate in which we're going to look at a verse in the Bible. If we were debating baptism, I'd go to one of the verses in the Bible that clearly show you must be baptized to be saved, Mark 16, for remission of sins, Acts 2. We're not going to find a verse like that. Sometimes people will quickly say, you can't say gambling is a sin because there's not a verse of Scripture that says it's a sin. But that really doesn't work because there are plenty of things we know are sinful, or they are sin. You're not going to find a verse of Scripture that condemns it. Certainly, I think all of us would say, if we go to the internet, we look at pornography, that's a sin. We're not going to find a verse in the Bible about that. There'd be plenty of things like that. Plenty of things the Bible does not say directly, this is a sin. And yet, because of the principles it violates in Scripture, because of the things Scripture does say, we clearly know it's sin. So let's start off by defining gambling. To gamble, according to Webster's Dictionary, Collier's, etc., and I put just several things down here, is to play or game for money or other stake. To hazard, which is the idea of extreme risk. To wager. Hence, to take money or other things of value upon an uncertain event, by gaming or wagering. Notice something involving a large chance of losing, not just simple risk. And so that's one thing that we need to clearly understand. When we're talking about gambling, we are not talking about simple risk, but we are talking about a large chance of losing or a strong element of uncertainty. I put my own note down here, and I'll mention this because this is what I believe about it. Note that it's not a large chance or strong element merely based on a physical handicap, for example. If I went out and tried to play golf with anybody in this room, I'm going to lose badly, unless it's weak golf, and I'm good at that. But if I try to play golf with anybody, I'm going to lose badly because, you know, I'm just handicapped in various ways to keep me from that. I don't have the skill in addition to that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the very nature of the game itself creates that large degree of uncertainty. But let's go further. Because just saying that doesn't make it sin. So I ask again, is gambling sin? There's a popular conception out there. Many see gambling as simple risk. If you say, life is a gamble, for example, plenty of people will say that. And plenty will say it in answer to this whole question of, can I buy a lottery ticket? A lot of people see gambling as simple risk or taking a chance. So anything that exposes one to hazard or risk is viewed as a gamble. But let's look at it further. Gambling also may seem harmless to people because so many accept it. Everybody makes friendly bets or wagers. I've been told that countless times. We watch a football game together. I bet you a steak dinner that, you know, Alabama beats Auburn West. That kind of thing. People make friendly bets, quote unquote. Friendly wagers. Churches even run raffles. So a person will ask, if all these good people are doing this thing and they don't see anything wrong with it, it's harmless, then how can you stand up there and say it's sin? That's one problem I think we have in our society. Because in our society, and just stop for a moment and realize this, there's an accelerated transition. 5 minutes. Call it out if you don't mind. Everything. It won't bother me. There is an accelerated transition to sin or wrong, and notice, being defined by how many people accept something. I can go back 40 years in preaching, and in the congregation, I would tell you that 95%+ would think alcohol use is wrong. You won't find that today. It's acceptable. People use alcohol. Marijuana, you could have gone back 10 years. And most people in a congregation would think it's wrong, but now it's legal in a number of states, and bills are introduced in a number more. So the point is, we're transitioning to defining something as sin based on if it's legal, if people accept it, etc. Think about the nudity Think about the display of sexual activity in popular entertainment, in movies, in television shows, etc. Because it's accepted, it becomes less and less and less wrong in our minds. Same thing is happening with gambling. But I want to make this point clear. Something is wrong because God says it's wrong. Not because people feel it is wrong. Because it violates the commandments of Scripture. Or because it violates the principles of Scripture. I would go back to, again, any number of things we might name that the Bible doesn't specifically condemn, but we know it violates principles of Scripture. The same is true with gambling. So is gambling sin? Go back to the definition. To play or game for money or other stake, to hazard, to wager. I want you to notice the definition. Hence, to take money. We are not talking about earning money. Personally, oh no, I work hard at it. Believe me, I can go across the street to the store, wherever it is over here, and see people working hard at it, okay? But they're not working or earning in the strictest definition. They're taking. If they win, they take money from others who lose. That's not the same as employment or earning or laboring. So they're taking money. There's a large chance of losing. Notice, by the very nature of the thing, you're buying a lottery ticket, you realize it's millions of chances against you to lose. So considering Ephesians 4:28, whoops, too fast. I want you to think about some of the things that it says. Let him that stole, person might say, well, I'm not stealing. No, but in a form, you're taking is the idea. You're not earning. And so let him that stole steal no more, but rather, as opposed to taking, to stealing, work, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. So to work with your own hands versus the idea of taking by gaming or wagering. Notice Ephesians 4:28, the thing which is good. We're talking about here good as defined by God. The word for good there is not a beautiful thing, but it's rather a moral thing. The things that are involved in gambling, we have time to get into it in this first speech. But just think about all the things that are involved and ask the question, are we talking about a good thing? Are we talking about something that is beneficial to other people? Which is a definition of that word good in Ephesians 4. Is gambling beneficial to those who lose? Is the idea. So versus that which is detrimental or a loss to others. And finally, in Ephesians 4, that you may have to give to him that has need. That's the object of labor, ultimately. It's not just to provide for your family, though that's part of it. But ultimately, for a Christian, it is even so that you can reach a point of being charitable, to give to other people. Now, gambling, the very definition of it, is taking. So the idea of a Christian in Ephesians 4, working in order to give, gambling in order to take, it's not congruent, is the idea. It just does not harmonize with the biblical ideas for legitimate ways to make or earn money. And that's the principle, main principle that it violates. There are others, but that's the primary principle that it violates. It is not a legitimate way to earn money and so that you might give even or be beneficial to other people. We have a few seconds. That's all right. I'll close with that. And Wes, it'll be.
I want you to look there closer in Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't mind, that verse 29. That he may give to those who are in need, right? The end of verse 28.
I want to go up some statistics here very quickly.
When you look at the... let's go with the correct one. Search. When you look at the New Jersey Lottery in particular, New Jersey Lottery mission statement says this: the mission of the New Jersey State Lottery is to raise revenue for maximum contribution to state education and institutions benefiting the citizens of New Jersey through the responsible sale of lottery products And he goes on to list some of the other things about it. I want you to stop right there and tell me off the bat that is bad. That is not bad. That is good. That is to put more money into the state of New Jersey that was not there before. So this article, and it's not an article, it's directly from the New Jersey Lottery website. This is their review of the fiscal year 2017. So from 1970 through 2017, they've given over $25 billion back to state programs. So, I've worked hard for my money. I go and I buy the Mega Million Dollar. I might not win. And to Michael's point, there's a large chance that I am not going to win. But guess who's helped out? I am. The state of New Jersey is, with, to the ring of, in that year, $987 million were donated or were sent to the state through the lottery. That's a good deal. I want you to think about how much money that is. I've never seen $987 million. I've never even felt $1 million. Imagine if we just wiped out $987 billion or $1 million from our economy in the state. What our roads look like. What your schools look like. And you can see things here that it goes to. It's got higher education. So school nutrition, $3,400, right? All these different departments of education. And then you got all the higher learning things, such as financial aid, such as tuition help, such as all other kinds of things to the tune of like $667,000. And then you've got other human, so people with disabilities, they get help to the tune of somewhere around $233,000 where the psychiatric wards, they receive this. The veterans receive, sadly, only $15,000 in this. But as you can tell, there is $987,000 that they have specifically mentioned. Well, if you go down the list, it talks about all of the other organizations that are not necessarily listed, but it's things along to help the blind. All these other things to $987 million. That is a good thing. I want you to think about how much money can be raised for an event. So we mentioned the raffle tickets, right? So there is an article from the LA Times that there was a church, he mentioned the church bingo. And you can buy a dollar card, a $5 card, depends on how the church sets that particular bingo up, right? Well, it talks about in this article from the LA Times how as recently as 2 years ago, there was a private school that was funded with upwards of $20,000 just from bingo from the one church. That's a pretty big fundraiser, right? That's huge. To the point of, this article is about there's another church down the street that's stealing from it, basically. They're taking the people that were one time doing this, but that church, in the month, they raised $8,000 towards their good. I want you to think about, we got $8,000 more in a month. How much more would we have every week? We'd have an additional $2,000 more to spend on the spread of the gospel from that. That's what we're talking about. That's the kind of money that we are talking about if we sold a dollar bingo card. Because, does it cost us anything? It doesn't cost us anything. It doesn't cost so much at all. It's a terrific way to raise funds. And so you can go through and you can see all the different ways to raise funds throughout. And their best way, they say, is to get a raffle ticket. Because you can walk around, right? I see this all the time at Prudential Center. 50-50 raffle. Right? What's a 50-50 raffle? 50% of the money goes to the charity. So, yeah, I might lose $10 or $20, as is the case at Prudential Center. But guess what I did? I gave $20 to charity. And so if I win the 50%, that's awesome. But if I lose, I didn't really lose because I gave 20%, or I gave $20 to a charity. Well, that's a good thing. I don't understand why that is so risky when the benefits are out there for so many others to the point where you can raise so much more money. How much more time do I have there, Everton? 2.5 minutes. So, if it's so bad and it's so detrimental, then how do we deal with the people with mental issues that need this help? The public schools that need this help? The private schools that need this help? If gambling and the lottery and 50-50 raffles for my basketball team are so sinful, how are we going to take care of all these people that need the help? So someone asked me this question, and I think it's a good one to ask. I know I've lost my screen. That's okay. So let's say one of the members here goes and you play the Mega Million Dollar, right? Say it's $5. I don't know what the ticket cost is. We'll say it's $5. Very small. Most of us not going broke over $5. And you come back and you get $100 million in the Mega Million. And you donate, let's say, 10% of that $100 million. Now, I'm not accounting taxes. We're just going to say 10% off the top of that, right? You understand how much money that is? A person puts that check in the treasury. What we do as a church. You refusing that money, Michael? What if you only put in $5 from your $20 scratch off? We refusing that money? We taking that money. Gambling ain't wrong. Especially when it's good.
My knowledge, we don't generally police people by asking them, but wait, here's the caveat. But if I learned that, I don't care how much it is, they put $10 million in the plate. If they gambled to win it, I'd say the exact same thing to them that I'm saying to you tonight. I'm not impressed, and I think that every Christian here would say, we're not impressed with dollar amounts. We're impressed with people doing what's right. And that's the question. But let's go back and look at some things, because Wes raised some interesting points. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, he put up the chart with all of the statistics, etc. Let's mention a couple of things. Money is raised for charitable organizations, be that churches or whatever it might be. Help the mentally, disturbed, etc., etc., etc. Money is raised. But I want us to think about it. First of all, God has a way for taking care of all of the things that need to be taken care of. Two of them. One is the plate he mentioned, where we come together each Sunday and we contribute money, we lay it into the basket at our place, and then it goes into a treasury, and we end up doing all kinds of things. The time I've been here, we've done all kinds of charitable things. That's one way God has for raising money. Beyond that, in government, God has another way for raising money, and that's taxes. Now, we can talk about the lack of responsibility on the part of those in government. That's not the debate. But the point is, as citizens, at least in this nation, we are to contribute money by paying our taxes. And when taxes are paid, they are, among other things, to be used for all those things you put up there and many, many others. But here's the point. The large sum of money that's taken in, raked in by gambling, the huge problem I have is that only a percentage goes for those things. Years ago, I was involved in the JCs. I tell you a quick story. One of the projects, first projects I ran was the muscular dystrophy telethon. And we went to a mall. I raised all kind of money. And when we had this huge sum of money, it occurred to me to ask, how much of this money is going to help people with muscular dystrophy? You ready for this? 10 cents of every dollar. I said right then and there, never, ever, ever again. I will give money, I will budget to be able to give money, and I give away a lot of money. I really do. But here's the point, never, ever again. I'm not giving it to a lottery ticket. I'm not giving it to an organization that abuses and a large sum of money is wasted. So let's be honest, Wes. Let's say the raffle you talked about. Let's talk about the $20,000 that was raised. I'm still asking the question, okay, these people came to a church and they played bingo and they raised X amount of dollars. Somebody walked away with prizes. Somebody had to either volunteer or be paid to conduct or run that whole thing. How much money, bottom line, went to actually accomplishing the good or the benefit that it was being said you're playing to do? In other words, Wes came down to a point of saying a 50-50 raffle and was impressed by the fact that 50% went to the charity. You know, when you put money into a plate at a church, when you give the money directly to someone, guess what percentage goes to them? 100. So when we're talking about a 50-50 raffle, and we're talking about 50% goes to help or benefit the good that is being accomplished, I'd be the first to say, yes, good being accomplished. We are also talking about someone, look at the top part of this slide, someone is taking money in that whole event. And that's what I'm really doing, is I'm going there to wager with the idea that I might win big because I take, even if it's 50%, I take from those who otherwise could be doing good with 100% of the money. Now let's run through very quickly. How much time, Everton? Okay, great. So let's talk about legitimate means of profiting or making money. With legitimate endeavors, here's the point of it. And can we ever say this about gambling? When there's a legitimate effort, in other words, you have a job, you work, all the willing participants, bosses, workers, customers, clients, etc., etc., all the willing participants labor or contribute. There are tangible goods and services being exchanged, produced, etc., are provided. But notice the point. All benefit. In every single form of gambling, one person benefits hugely, greatly. Many people lose. That's the difference. In fact, profit only results in a legitimate effort by helping everybody to profit. If I'm a farmer, I grow food for people to eat. If I work at a job, whatever good or service we produce or I provide benefits the customer, the client. All people are helped to profit or gain from the participants' effort and risk, of course. And thirdly, the participant does not attempt to take advantage of somebody else's loss. If I go across the street and buy a lottery ticket, I'm hoping, wanting, wishing that all those other people that buy that lottery ticket lose their money. 100% of it. And it'll go to me. At least some percentage will go to me. That's how it happens in a legitimate effort. You're not taking advantage of somebody's loss for personal gain. So with gambling, everybody wagers. Everybody bets, they risk. No tangible goods or services are produced. Now you can say, well, the money is used for. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about directly involved in the gambling. There's not a tangible good or service being produced or provided. And only one person or a fraction of people benefit while so many other, yes, Wes, so many other people, it is to their detriment or loss. And finally, we ask the question, then, what then is the difference between gambling and legitimate means of profit? Let me run through a few things. Consider these. Secondary, if you will, but they are principles nonetheless. And all of these by legitimate efforts are satisfied, the principles of God. The love of money is the root of all evil. Can we ever say that people involved in gambling begin to love money and they will to be rich at the loss of other people? Can you ever say that? What about the foolish or undue risk? God warns about that in Proverbs. foolish risk, undue risk, is wrong. When you know there's a huge chance of losing, what about being a good steward or a waste of money? I even go back to Wes's own statistics. Is it being a better steward of my money to lay it in the plate or give it to someone or to contribute it in some game where maybe 50% at best might go to them? What about the idea of influence? I realize that more and more and more people do not believe gambling is wrong, but understand something, plenty of people still do. And when I do that, I mean, let's face it, if I came walking in here bragging, Wes, that I'm going to be able to give $10,000 today because Montel and I have been gambling and I won a bunch of money, how would you feel? And be honest about that. You cause other people to stumble. You might not. It might not hurt you at all, really, to buy a lottery ticket a week. You might say, that's what I do. Not much chance of winning. It doesn't hurt. Don't even feel it. But other people can't stop at that. You're engaging in something where you directly know somebody is going to stumble. There wouldn't be a Gamblers Anonymous if that wasn't the truth, because there is addiction. And understand, if you're here tonight and you've never taken a drink, the first one may lead you to alcoholism. If you've never used a drug, the first one may lead you to addiction. And if you've never gambled, the first time you place a bet may lead you to addiction. I'll put up the next one very quickly. I'll borrow from the time I gave up. In the end, it's covetousness. In the end, it's neglect. It's you're not doing the best you can do for your loved ones. All right, sorry about that. Wes.
Pray off the last thing you just said. I'm not doing the best thing for my loved ones. Again, say I buy one lottery ticket every week. Say it's $5. 4 weeks in a month, it's $20, right? Over a year, how much is that? Not a ton, right? All right. How much more could I do with that $5 that week? When that $5 can turn in for me an additional, say, 20. By the end of the month, I'm broke even, right? I haven't lost anything in that sense. That's just sheer math, okay? Now, I want you to think about it from this perspective. That's an argument that I understand why Michael is making. It's not what's best for the family. But it's not necessarily what's worse for the family either. Because if you win, guess what? You're ahead. If you lose, okay, maybe that is what's bad. But that's requiring you to lose every single time you play $5. And you're not going to lose every single time you play $5. That's just not the way it works. But you may get in over your head, and that happens. Now, Michael says that a legitimate business, that this is taking money from someone else. All willing participants labor or contribute and all benefit. What do you think about a professional poker player? Is there such a thing as a professional poker player where that is how they get their living? There are a bunch out there. You can see it on ESPN. Now in the world that sports betting is legal throughout all the country, there are professional sports bettors. There have always been, but that is how they receive their money. Now, here's an article from a professional gambler. He's a poker player. And he talks about it in this way. And the word benefit depends on what you determine a benefit. I think Michael is defining benefit as they each get something, something that they can put in their hands, something that is tangible. I want you to think about how he says it here. He says, a professional enjoys what he does, but he knows at the end of the day that he has to keep what he does about business. For all the pleasure he derives from it, because he's just said his favorite thing about professional poker is the rush. But he says that's what makes the difference between the professional and the amateur, is that the professional realizes this is business. This is not pleasure, but this is business. So he says, so for all the pleasure he derives from it, if he loses sight of the bottom line, he's digging his own grave. A hustler never sees what they are doing for what it is. They think they can balance out the fun and the money and keep riding the rush. They are wrong. In this business, just as in life, you must grow up. For a time, yes, you can play for fun and money and live for a rush after rush, but after a time, if you don't grow up, you are living on the edge of a razor every time you play. And he goes on to talk about, and this was the point about the benefit, is that when he's looking across the poker table, and say it's a young gun who is coming and trying to take his money, and I realize I just used Michael's word, but he's trying to get his money. He said, an amateur, they look at them and they feel bad for them. But in this business, you can't feel bad because sometimes what you have to do is you have to lose to learn how to win. And so he benefits from getting his throat cut, and he knows next time how to handle it different. Now, Michael's going to say that's not a benefit. But how many of us have benefited from the failures that we have had in life? And we learn from that situation and we turn them into something good. And in that moment, we did not see them as beneficial, but yet they truly were beneficial. So I want you to think about a phrase. I want you to tell me if you really believe this passage in Romans chapter 8. All things work together for good for them that love the Lord. All things. Everything that you do is going to work out for good if you love the Lord. Right? That's a benefit in its own kind of right. So let me deal with a couple of things that Michael said here. This goes with this taking the money, the advantage of another's loss. It is true that especially in these games like poker and blackjack at the casinos and all of that kind of stuff, you are competing against another individual or an individual who is representing someone else's money. There is some competition in that, right? But in the 50-50, does anybody really lose? Yeah, they lose money. But I go to a movie and I pay $20. I got something for it. I had fun. I enjoyed the movie. Can I have fun playing the scratch-off game for $4? I enjoyed that. I got my quarter out. I said, oh, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? That's entertainment for me. It's all it is. If I win, I win. If I don't, I don't. But somebody's getting help and I got entertainment out of it. We don't say it's a problem to go to the movies, do we? If we do, then I'm wrong. Right? I don't even like movies and I still go. Like, I don't even like the lottery and I still play, right? Because I enjoy scratching the thing off. What's entertainment for somebody? It's not because they're covetous and they want all the money in the world and they want old poor Billy's money. No, it's something that's enjoyable. It's fun. It's a rush. And we just do it every now and again. Like, okay. It's $540 million. I play that thing for $540 million. It'd be fun. Let me see what numbers can I come up with to pick here. Kid's birthday, my birthday. Like, it's fun to kind of work through that process. And I'm not doing it for the root and covetousness. I'm not doing it because I want to take somebody else's money. I just want the money that's already out there. And we all have equal chance to it. Well, equal chance in the sense of one ticket gives you the same amount of chance as somebody else. And so we're all agreeing that we're willing to give this amount of money up. So I'm not taking it. You're offering it to me. So I come up to Nicole and I offer Nicole $20 or I offer Nicole $50, but she's got to give me $5. You think Nicole is taking that? Yeah. I'm taking that too. I give you five. Noah, the other day, he wanted my $100 bill. I don't have those very often, but I had a $100 bill. I was willing to trade him. He was willing to trade me a $10 bill for a $100 bill. Well, I wasn't quite ready to do that. But if he had a $100 bill, I would offer him the same thing, right? And if somebody takes it, hey, that's on them. They wanted to do it. But again, all of the benefit that comes from that. Everton, how much time do I have? So influence. My influence is the problem. Because somebody else thinks it is wrong, I can't do something that is right. What? Because someone else thinks it is wrong, I can't do what I believe is right because it might cause them to stumble. Is that the way it works? That I have to give up my liberties for somebody else? This is America. I do what I want to do. I don't have to answer to anybody else. I have to answer to God. And I'm not throwing my money away. I'm not wasting my money. I am having fun. This is entertainment to me. And not for nothing, people are benefiting, including myself, even if I don't walk away with the money. I still had fun. It was still good to me. And I didn't lose all my family's money. I think that's the problem. We jump too far to these extremes of, if you gamble, you're going to become an addicted gambler and you're going to do this and you're going to live in the gutter in Nevada or Atlantic City or in the gutter of East Orange. They wasted all their money gambling, trying to get out of the hole. For the most people, that's not the case, is it? They just enjoy it for fun. Thank you.
If you will, give me a 1 minute warning on this. All right, we'll go very quickly. Wes, most people do not get addicted. That is true. Some do. And as far as you ask the question, is that the way it works because other people think it's wrong, etc.? Yeah, that is the way it works. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 through 10, Romans 14, Matthew 18, etc. When I know that it causes other people to stumble, that is exactly the way it works. A Christian is more concerned with them not stumbling than what he might win out of the situation. Talk about the $5 a week. I understand. $5 a week is not a big deal. Most people look at it like that. We all understand here, I'm sure, at least most of us do anyway, the idea of compound interest. Start out at 20 years old. Put $5 a week into something that will benefit your family over the next 40 years with compound interest, et cetera. See how much money you have at the end of that 40 years. It may not seem a lot, but you can waste $5 a week and cost your family quite a bit of profiting. So even when we look at it like that, the power of a geometric progression is incredible. You talked about a professional poker player. There are professional poker players. You admit it. They take. And that's the whole point. They work hard at it. I give them that. They have skill. I give them that. They take. At the end of the day, they win because other people lose. That's the problem. You said that you learn from the failures. That's right. But is it a Christian's position to cause other people to fail so they might get some good out of it, so God might turn it to good? Is that where we are, so that I can defend gambling? I think we need to think about that. Entertainment. Entertainment has to be right. Nothing wrong with entertainment. Nothing wrong with recreation. But the main question is it right? Is it moral, what I'm doing? Finally, Nicole's deal. I don't know why we're picking on you, Nick, but Nicole's deal. You come up to me and you say, Michael, I'll give you $50 if you'll give me $5. I'll take that deal too. You come up to me and you say, Michael, I'll give you $50 if you give me $5, but you've got a 99%+ chance of losing your $5 and you won't get the $50. I ain't taking that deal ever. But that's what we're doing in gambling. Did you say time? All right.
See, that's the difference. 99% of the time, he's not going to hit. But I'm going to give that $5 because that $5 didn't mean anything to me anyway. I'm going to take that for a chance to win that $50. That's a good deal. I'll take that odd all day, every day. And, oh, by the way, if I happen not to get that $50, guess who benefits? I do. Because maybe I'm in the psychiatric side of things, or maybe I'm a veteran, or whatever, or I'm in the public school system. So I close with this one. So when I was in the state of Georgia, there's a scholarship called the Hope Scholarship. Hope Scholarship was started in 1993. Hope Scholarship is funded completely by the Georgia Lottery, where if you have a 3.0 GPA and you go to a qualifying high school, you receive financial aid from the state. You're turning that scholarship down. That's the kind of help. Come from a poor family. I don't have any money. And you're giving me, or I can get another scholarship at 3.7 GPA where I get a full ride. All because of the lottery. You taking that scholarship or not? I rest my case.
We have a great time doing this. Anybody, I don't know if anybody's visiting in this audience, but if you are, understand we're good friends and we have fun doing this. So, but I hope more than anything that a discussion such as this is a benefit. At least, you know, you may not agree with one side or the other, but at least it gives you things to think about. And as Christians, that's what we should do. And in the end, we are all responsible to make good, wise decisions based on the information we get from God. That's why we're doing these. We know that the arguments being made are the arguments that you normally hear from both sides, things like these. And so as Christians, we want to think. We want to be honest. We want to be 1 Peter 3:15, ready to give an answer. So that being said, if you're here tonight, if you're a Christian, we have said a number of things tonight. Not directly, not really directly related to the idea of what do you need to do to become a Christian, but yet at the same time we have. Because we've said that as Christians we need to be concerned with what the Bible says, we need to go to the Bible, ask these hard questions sometimes, and for many of us here, along the way we had to make decisions to change things. Maybe even things we did by habit, by regular, you know, etc. There was a time when I loved bending over a pool table. There was a time when I liked to bet, and sometimes as much as $50 a game, $100 a game. I never had the money to do the big money. But there was something thrilling about it. The idea of taking that guy's money was thrilling. I understand, and as Christians I think we all understand, there's a lure in sin. There's a hard responsibility to say, let me change and do what God wants me to do because God wants me. That's what we were talking about this morning. We could go into all the other things involved in the debate tonight, but that's not the point. The point is, bottom line is, whether you make a decision to gamble, not to gamble, or anything else you do, make the decision based on looking at it as a Christian, not asking from the standpoint of what do I want to do, what's good to me, what do I like, but make that decision based on what does my Lord want me to do. And I think must If you are here tonight and you're not a Christian, do you believe that Jesus is the Lord? He is the Son of God who gave His life. Would you confess that? Would you be willing to change? Whatever it might be, not because I say it or Wes says it or anybody else says it, but most importantly because Scripture says it. Would you be willing to change your life in every aspect because of that? And then would you be baptized? As we said this morning, the unbelievable, almost, blessing that God gives us is to go into a baptistry, obey God by being baptized, and come up out of the water, guiltless, innocent of anything we've ever done in our lives. That's amazing. And then beyond that, you mess up, Michael. As long as you're willing to repent, as long as you'll ask me for forgiveness, you're my child. As far as I'm concerned, it's the best deal that's ever been made in the universe. If you're here tonight and you're